This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, that was Sam Cooke with Summertime. I'm sure I couldn't. With me, Melissa Idris and Joyce Goh in the endless summer that is tropical Malaysia. Now, let's talk about this cabinet, because we finally got the full list. We've been waiting for it for some time. And we know there's been quite a bit of very open lobbying for certain positions, including that of a Minister of Youth and Sports. And there was a PKR kind of candidate, and then there was a Bersatu candidate. But the Bersatu candidate has been named, and he is none other than Syed Saddiq Syed Abdul Rahman, who at 25 apparently is the youngest minister we've ever had in cabinet, which is quite extraordinary. But there are haters, and or if not haters, at least detractors.
Well, haters gonna hate. But what they're saying now is some people are voicing out saying, you know, he's only 25. Can he do the job? Isn't he too young? What's in his CV? But you know, at the end of the day, I feel, you know, everybody should be given a chance if they've been put there or they've been voted in, and then in this case now they're a minister. Yeah, they should be given the chance to see whether or not they can walk the talk.
Okay, so the question of competence and age, right? Coming up to the general election, where there was the issue of Tun Dr. Mahathir being too old, right? Mm. So in his 90s, he was too old to be prime minister. But we've had people who've become prime ministers in their 30s. So we had Australia's Sebastian Kreutz. We also had New Zealand's Jacinda Ardern. And that was 31 and 37 respectively. So is age really an issue?
I don't think it's about just age, Nusharat. It's also gender an issue? Is where you're from an issue? Do you need to be from your? Do you need to be a woman to be Minister of Women and Community Development? Do you need to be young to be Minister of Youth? Do you need to be
from the rural sector to be Minister of Rural Development?
Yeah, exactly. So I think, you know, in kind of assessing the new cabinet lineup, it makes us kind of question, what makes a minister? What is the role of a minister, and what kind of criteria or characteristics do we want to see from our ministers, right? I think that having the portfolio that you're holding reflect some of the things that you champion is important, right? So can you be the Minister of Women and Community Development if you are not seen to be a vocal champion of women's rights or women parity in the workplace or even in cabinet? Can you be Minister of Youth if you are not in it with what young people are concerned about? Mm-hmm. You know, if you're not aware at all about what young people are worried about today, can you be Minister of Youth? So I think it's really about the causes that you champion, and that should reflect your portfolio.
Yeah, I agree. I also like for a Minister for Women and Family and Development, you have to know what a woman goes through. In a way, you have to be in her shoes to know.
Can you just read the literature on it?
I can see Sherrod's face.
I mean, why do you have to? I mean, I'm not just playing devil's advocate. I think there's a serious question around representation. I understand that cabinet and for governments, there's a symbolic dimension to it, right? So you need to have representation from across the country because you have national ambitions and you want to show that you are truly a national government, right? And so you create that symbolic heft for your cabinet by having people from across the board. But at the end of the day, there's also this other thing that we want. We want competence. Competence and representation don't necessarily go together, right? I mean, they could, they don't necessarily go together, and so on and so forth. So when assessing this government...
Can you be competent without, you know, knowing the portfolio?
Well, you know, it's obviously not. You'll have to know it, but can you know it by reading about it? We read about gender issues. There are a lot of men who consider themselves feminists and understand and champion women's rights. And you don't have to be a woman. Of course, there are things that as a man you never will have to experience as a woman, but you can empathize. And isn't empathy adequate to do the job? understanding it intellectually and having the empathy. Isn't that sufficient?
I don't know. I mean, that's been, we've spoken a lot about, you know, issues of, say, orang asal, right? And I believe there's a department that JAOKA, I can't remember the acronym.
Jabatan Hal Ufawa
Orang Asal, that's right. Mm. So
Asli.
So there's been complaints from NGOs or representatives of that community who say, well, you know, they really don't know what's going on the ground because they're based in KL, right? They don't know what's happening in rural Pahang. They don't know what's happening with the communities on the ground.
Yeah, that may be, but you know, it isn't solved by having somebody who is Orang Asli necessarily, because there are many people who are ethnic Orang Asli but who grew up in cities, who are as middle class and, you know, have the same ambitions and life chances and experiences as anybody else who is urban based, right? But if you're in that job, it's your responsibility to go out, to find out, to get the research done and you know, conduct those studies so that your policies are, you know, well-founded, right? And you don't need to be that, the same person. It's like saying, oh, you have to be poor in order to enact policies that are pro-poor and that, you know, advance the needs of those who are socially excluded.
I don't think you have to be poor, but I think it gives you some insight if you are from that community. I think, you know, if you are a doctor and you have been working in the medical community, you will have some insight as to problems in the health industry.
Or some experience or know what's happening on the ground.
Well, it's a fascinating discussion. It's going to continue for some time. We're taking you up to the news next. And then we'll be back with more discussion. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.